move into the next segment. Streaming
sass, boost the grounds, make you really wanna build a node.
Oh yeah, that's right. Makes you really want to build a node.
Or another one.
Or another node.
I just want to give up on my node and build a new one.
Burn yours to the ground and make a fresh node. Nothing wrong with that, even.
Burn it, burn it, burn it.
Nothing that's going to hurt anyway. 3333 coming in. You heard it right there. Ooh. You see the disco ball spinning around. That's Bolesteed.
Bolesteed.
Out of Fountain saying, Bicycle Day 419, the Bitcoin halving. Just as auspicious. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great day too.
Yeah. Fantastic. I always forget Bicycle Day the day before.
Bicycle, bicycle. Yeah.
The first Albert Hoffman tripping his balls off day. What a great day.
April is a great month.
What a great day for humans. You gotta love it.
April, where you suddenly get 80 degree weather out of nowhere.
That's right. Spring fever. It's waking up. It's driving all the people crazy. I can feel it. You can feel it. You can't deny it. And it's true in Bitcoin, too. Because everybody's hyped up for this halving that's coming. The target, as we speak, looks like Friday evening. And the KC Bitcoiners are going to do a little halving party.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, hit me up.
Is it kind of a TBD thing right now?
It's a moving target,
yeah.
But it's basically Friday night, Friday evening.
Okay.
So there's going to be like, we're going to meet up early enough to where we're going to be in plenty of time. I think Steve's going to have that King of Kong sequel queued up.
Aww.
And then we might pad the evening with another movie between then and the halving, and we'll just kind of party and as long as it takes.
Hell yeah. Steve, what a guy.
As long as it takes, baby.
I want to find a way. Okay, don't tell Steve this. But I know some people in the Mary-Kate Ultra who'd really like also a sneak preview of that movie. And I just want to be like the creepy person in the movie theater with my camera going the whole time, just streaming it to her.
We just got like one of those VHS over the shoulder.
Yeah.
Home video makers.
What's that for? It's purely aesthetic.
Yeah.
I'm just going for that.
It's my
early
having
90s
costume.
Vibe. Yeah, this is my having costume.
Yeah, currently, according to NiceHash, which all these estimators are a little bit different in how they get their estimates, but according to NiceHash, things will be going down around 10:05 on April 19th. But
ooh.
Of course, this is all dependent upon how many blocks it takes to get there. And blocks are solved on average every 10 minutes, but we all know about averages. Sometimes it takes a long time, sometimes it takes a little bit of time. So, according to the best estimates, somewhere about 10 o'clock-ish on Friday night is the current pace that we are headed toward that halving.
Yeah.
Could come earlier.
According to Bitbo, 416 blocks until the halving, which means we probably just passed 420 during bull after bull.
True.
That's pretty cool.
True indeed. Yeah, we are past the 420 marker, and we're closing in on it pretty quickly. So that'll be exciting. It'll be a fun time. I've seen a lot of different halving parties that have already happened.
Oh, wow.
And some are planned for the weekend. It seems like a lot of people are just doing them leading up to the event. We wanted to really do one during the actual event itself, which is a challenge, of course, because of how the block solves and the time chain moves on. So we're going to do it, damn it.
And we'll have the bolets with us.
We'll figure it out.
It's like New Year's.
A little bit.
If we're watching the blocks count tick down.
A little bit like New Year's, yeah. Everybody will have like mempool out from 10 blocks on, just like going nuts about it. A watched block is never solved, people.
Ooh.
Just kidding. I've seen plenty of solves. Just watching it.
You pull it up right now and watch one solve.
I think that's right. We are going to have another meeting, too, on Wednesday, which was a pre-planned event. Beers with Bitcoiners. We got another one Wednesday night. This will be at the bar in Mission.
Okay.
Downtown Mission, Kansas. So 6 p.m. as per usual. That's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. People were like, should we cancel this since we have the... And I was like, don't ever.
No.
Don't ever. That's the worst thing. Worst thing you can do as an event organizer is to cancel an event unless you absolutely fucking have to.
Mm.
Unless it is paramount. I said, canceling goes like this. The venue was leveled completely by a tornado, so unfortunately the event is canceled. Actually, a better move would be the venue was leveled by a tornado, so we're meeting here instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Of there. That would be the best case scenario. It's a bummer, you know, because sometimes you'll get a person who, you know, maybe it was like 4 or 5 months since they last showed up to a meetup, and then this is their one little shot, and maybe it would have been just you and them, but it would have been one of your favorite meetups you ever did. And then the organizer's just like, well, we canceled it because we have this other one that you can't make. No.
Yeah, that's not cool.
And enough of us are meetup junkies that we were planning on doing both anyway, so I'm going to be doing both. If you see me at the bar tomorrow night in Mission, let me know.
Say hello.
Tell me your cocaine shit stain is off the chain, and I'll buy you a beer.
Just like that.
I love making these promises because they never, you know.
No one ever takes you up on them.
Never going to happen. It's cool. It's fine.
Yeah. You know, those Bitcoin analysis experts show up and, well, they don't listen to bull after bull, so you don't have to worry about them taking you up on it.
That's okay, yeah. We are a small group here.
You just get to shill them on pickle coin. The pickle coin lives on.
Pickle coin.
I wonder if there will be more people out and about, though, with the halving coming up.
There's definitely some hype.
People
some
are like,
hype growing.
Oh, yeah, Bitcoin, that's a thing.
Man, Fox Business, I don't know, I was playing this clip earlier, but Fox Business had Natalie Brunell on talking about Bitcoin. And then they totally ambushed her with with fucking Peter Schiff, the gold bug man, the gold bug Bitcoin hater.
Yeah, he sounded like a retard.
He like...
You should have clipped it.
She just slides in. The guy's like getting her really thoughtful analysis, by the way. She can speak on Bitcoin.
Yeah, she's incredibly eloquent and was totally ready to shut his dumb ass down because he was lying, first of all, just making shit up.
If you want like the complete opposite feel, but still in the kind of Bitcoin enthusiast realm, that would be Natalie versus this off-chain, on-chain in terms of eloquence, in terms of, you know, grasp on the English language. In terms of all the things that I lack, she definitely has.
Yeah, she was amazing. She was a great representative to put onto friggin' Fox.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I think most people would have been thrown off crazily if they got thrown into that situation, but she was just totally, like, totally ready.
I believe she has hosted Peter on one of her podcasts before, or she's at least spoken with him before, so she already knew his attacks,
well, anybody,
his go-to talking points.
Anybody who's hung around in the Bitcoin digital space, I don't even know the fucking most of the Bitcoin personalities, but Peter Schiff is one of those guys that just won't shut the fuck up and always gets clowned on constantly. But I don't know.
Well, he might as well be just saying, Bitcoin's dead. Everyone knows Bitcoin's dead. Bitcoin's dead. Bitcoin's dead. Okay,
dumb,
Peter.
Going down. Dead, it's fine. Dumb, going down. Dead, dumb, going down.
Have fun staying poor.
There you go.
With your gold piled up, you know? Shove it up your ass. I don't know what else to do with it. You're going to fucking become a jewelry maker?
We can wire some computers, man. Out of it. Wire computers with it.
Oh. Hadn't thought of that one.
Intrinsic value, man. It's all about that intrinsic value.
I like how it also came to the point, because she knows that he's not going to hear her out on Bitcoin.
Right. Well, so she just all says, he wants to do is blah, 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 blah.
You have...
Make noises and interrupt people.
Yeah. I hate that, because she didn't do that to him.
No.
She was incredibly respectful, but definitely shut his ass down eloquently. And she's telling him, you know, gold, okay, that's a thing you can hold and whatever. Bitcoin, it's like the digital version.
Yes. Yeah. How are you gonna send that instantly across international borders? The gold,
right.
The gold part.
You can't.
It's gonna be logistically difficult. Let's say logistically difficult. Got some stories. Some interesting stories popped up. One of them, a fun update for Sparrow Wallet version 1.8.5. Remember we mentioned that Samurai Whirlpool is now operating over decentralized Soraban, so Sparrow Wallet has updated to support that.
Nice.
So there you got it.
Cool. That's good news. Thanks, Sparrow.
It's in this new release, it updates the Whirlpool client, which now uses Soroban network to communicate with the coordinator, representing a significant first step in decentralizing the Whirlpool coin join service. So now it doesn't rely, like we said last bowl, it doesn't rely any longer on the one centralized coordinator, which is a good move.
Definitely.
Good move. Bad move, though. Atlanta 2022 core dev event probed by the FBI.
Ugh, I saw this.
Yes, absolutely probed. The FBI was looking for more information about Bitcoin devs who attended core dev Atlanta back in October 2022. As part of an investigation into the theft of more than 200 Bitcoin from developer Luke Dash Jr. So, wowie zowie.
Luke the puke.
Quote, as part of the investigation into Luke Dash Jr.'s announced theft of his bitcoins, I received a subpoena from the FBI wanting information about attendees of the October 2022 Core Dev Atlanta event in the days before TabConf 2022. I was legally advised to cooperate.
Mm-mm.
That's fun. That's good times.
And then he had to, you know, sign a non-disclosure thing that said, well, you can't talk about this until a year is up or something. So as soon as the year is up, he's like, okay, everyone, just to let you know, handed all your information over to the feds.
Mike Schmidt, co-founder and director at Brink, which is a nonprofit supporting open source Bitcoin devs, let all the attendees know about this incident. According to Schmidt, the request involved all developers invited to the event, as well as some guests. The provided information includes developers' GitHub usernames, public first and last names. Schmidt later clarified that these were taken from public sources such as GitHub or the mailing list. So people using NIMS, I guess their NIMS were
handed over
on the list. And email address. Good time. Yeah, get involved, everybody. Get involved so the FBI can look peer deep into your anus.
Yeah, I don't know.
You gotta love it.
I've been really turned off from big conventions for a hot minute. And you can blame anime conventions for that. And just the woke culture and policies that they started taking. And then with weed legalization, I saw the industry conventions and was like, yeah, fuck this. Literal CIA. Cannabis Industry Association. Yeah, not a turn on for me. Tell you what. And then I hear stories like this. Meh. I think I'll stick to the small group.
Yeah.
Organic growth. Just you network with, it's not even networking. You just make friends along the way. Just keep on the journey.
It's like, I don't know. It's tough. Tough when you're in the corner and the big three letters are pointed at your ass.
Oh, yeah.
So he did disclose to everybody right away of what was asked of him.
Yeah. And he had an attorney, you know?
Yeah.
So at least there was a little bit of a buffer between the feds and everyone, but it sucks.
Yes. Yes, indeed, Aruni. It does suck. But I mean, I don't know. We live in a society after all.
Yep. And I like to think that if the feds weren't so lazy, all that information they could have gathered themselves.
Yeah, who knows
GitHub
with those
names,
motherfuckers. Maybe it's
emails.
A test, you know? Maybe it's a test and they already knew all this shit and they just wanted him to provide it.
Yeah. Well, you never know. With it's these like sneaky snakes.
You know what the fuck they're up to. They're playing their own little games.
Yes, always.
Speaking of their own little games, Patriot Act V2.0.
Oh, boy.
This is a fun one, too, concerning privacy news here. U.S. House passes FISA 702 surveillance expansion reform, they call it.
Mm.
This passed on 12th of April.
Just out of the House, right? Like, Senate hasn't passed it yet?
That is right.
Okay.
The U.S. House passed this. But, you know,
it's only a matter of time, right?
I think
this is something
one,
they all love.
I think this one is a shoe-in on the Senate side as well. A two-year extension of Section 702 of the FISA Act, a controversial warrantless spying authority, and in an extremely narrow tie vote, rejected critical reforms to stop rampant abuse of the law. That's really great. That's really fantastic. Although, actually, reading further into this, the legislation does remain stuck in the House. Right after the bill passed, members went back and forth as to how to proceed. The Florida Representative Anna Paulina Luna demanded a recorded vote on the motion to table, which will take place as early as Monday, keeping the bill from reaching the Senate at least until, well, yesterday. So I don't have any update on that action yesterday. The bill, though, does reauthorize the FISA Act, and it needs to pass the Senate before the April 19th deadline for it to expire. So
there is
a bit of a race against time here. Rep Chip Roy, Republican of Texas, said after the vote, "So everybody's got to go home and tell constituents over the next 72 hours about why they are siding with the intelligence agencies in the deep state and the swamp over the rights and liberties of the American people." The amendment to require the government to obtain a warrant to search Section 702 data for Americans' communications failed by an achingly close vote of 212 to 212.
Wow.
So they wanted to add an amendment that would have required a warrant for this Section 702 data search. They wanted this amendment. Hey, get a warrant, and the vote failed by tying. The amendment failed by tying. Incredible. Incredible.
So they don't need a warrant as it stands?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
The White House, this is an Edward Snowden tweet, even though Snowdy weighing in on this one. The White House intervened in the House, flipping votes through direct phone calls, aiming to defeat an amendment that required the government get a warrant before searching Americans' communications. Biden defeated the warrant requirement by a single vote, 212 to 212. Pretty wild.
Sick. Hilariously,
though, there's this thing called the Constitution, which already requires a warrant, right? Which already kind of bars the government from unreasonable search and seizure. Not that, you know, we stick to the Constitution.
Unfortunately.
Here in our current federal government. Not that that really is a big deal. But it turns out this is already illegal anyway. It's unconstitutional. Which at this point has just become a meme.
It's just such a bummer. You know, because the Constitution is legible, readable, understandable by all. And then they have this fucking huge book, I suppose, of all these laws they put on top of it. They're just like, fuck what the Constitution says, though. We want to do what we want to do.
Such a pile
of
horseshit.
And how are you supposed to battle that? Because you point to the Constitution and say, well, my constitutional rights, and they just laugh at you.
Yeah, I mean,
and you still get locked away.
Those are merely guidelines.
At this point, yeah, it's but that's wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to fix it, so.
Yeah, it's one of the most
parallel society time
disempowering things that you can really think about, really.
Yeah. However, I would like to say the Senate and the U.S. House usually are anything but swift. So if they only have 3 days to agree and vote and pass this, we might have time on our side.
Who knows?
Although let's see how fast they can act to take away more freedoms.
When absolute power is on the line, it's amazing.
Yeah.
How they get up off their asses and move.
It is.
It's incredible.
Truly astonishing.
It's incredible. Whine about not being able to do anything until this kind of thing comes up. And then they are incredibly effective somehow.
I'm shocked.
It's pretty wild. Speaking of shitty governments, Norway wants to curb Bitcoin mining with Europe's first data center regulation. Hey.
Boy, regulations. That's my least favorite fucking word.
Norway, the liberal haven of freedom and life, quality of life. It's always heralded as like one of the best countries on earth.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Why? We do not know.
They have introduced new legislation to regulate data centers. While the proposal is not explicitly targeted at Bitcoin miners, the sentiment expressed by the country's top politicians promises increased scrutiny for Bitcoin miners in Norway. So a new telecoms act, which would make Norway the first European country, by the way, to impose a dedicated legal framework on data center operators.
Not a good look, Norway.
Nah.
But, good luck enforcing it.
Yeah. Per local news outlet VG, one of the goals of the registration requirements in this bill is to enable politicians to have a clearer understanding of the data centers operating in their municipalities.
Yeah.
So our understanding is clear. Register here for our understanding, citizen.
I wonder, does it define data center? Like, I mean, someone operating their own miner, not going to come up as a data center, I'd hope. I picture like a huge venture.
Well,
like a warehouse with nothing but servers and fans.
It's a great question. It's not as clearly spelled out in this particular article. It does say, though, that the registration requirements would include the owners and managers of facilities as well as the type of digital service they offer. And they do have in Norway a digitalization minister.
Oh, boy.
Who was quoted as saying, "The purpose is to regulate the industry in such a way that we can close the door for the projects we do not want. We Great. Need to know more about which data centers we have, what they contain, and what they do. Today, we have no overview." So they want to know what everybody's up to so that they can decide who they want to shut down.
Yeah.
You Great. Heard it from the source herself right there.
The minister.
Carrie Ann Tung. T-U-N-G Tung. Not the fun time. Not the fun kind of tongue. The energy minister, Terje Aasland. I don't know.
Sounds good.
I don't speak Russian. Added it was particular. It is particularly the cryptocurrency miners that the country doesn't want. So that's who they're trying to find and shut down, according to the energy minister. Who said, "They are not welcome in Norway. We want serious actors who are important to society, and the society-serving computer industry is important to us."
Wow.
Now, this is, of course, English translations, likely, so I think some things have been slightly lost here. But...
I don't know. I feel like
the sentiment is still there. The core sentiment is there. You know what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin mining is associated with large greenhouse gas emissions.
Oh, here we go.
And is an example of a type of business we do not want in Norway, he added. No comment on Netflix servers or
washing machines.
Heated drying. No comment on heated drying anywhere.
What about the microwaves? Fuck. We got all sorts of problems.
No comment on induction stovetops. No, but the Bitcoin mining is very bad. Very bad. According to Hashrate Index, Norway is the largest European hydropower producer and accounts for less than 3% of Bitcoin's hash rate.
Mm.
So,
nothing of value was lost.
Yeah. Remember when China banned mining and it made a little dent in it for like a few weeks?
Yeah, and then it got back on track.
And then people were like, "Wait, we can still do this.
It is just a law.
We just have to be more careful.
We don't have to follow a law.
We have to do it a certain way.
Sticks and stones." And but then, laws don't regulate my ass.
And they came back.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. With a vengeance.
Just driving economic activity out of their own country because, electricity bad, basically. It's not even electricity bad. It's the stuff we don't like is bad. And they can blame electricity. It's the convenient scapegoat on top of what the real problem is, which is sovereignty in a money that they cannot control and manipulate and print more of. And redistribute at will, and seize at will, and that's what really is bothering a lot of these top politicians.
Yep, their retro career is melting. I would like to think, and the fake and gay money is being replaced by better money as a parallel society gets established. That also happens to be global, which is a real threat to them because they wanted, the global powers in their hands.
Yes,
and here rise up the people. Nah. We don't really trust you, though. I mean, why should we? Horrible track record.
It's hilarious because in Norway, electricity production by source in 2021, 92% of their electric grid is run on hydroelectric renewables.
Okay.
7% from wind. And then 1% is other.
Hmm.
So
what are they bitching about?
There's no way that the Bitcoin mining industry, as it exists, or, to what extent it exists in Norway, is emitting a bunch of greenhouse gases. Where are they going to... There's not a wall that you can plug into in Norway that's based on coal or natural gas. It's all this... it's mostly hydroelectric.
Yeah, well, that's
overwhelming majority. So...
Anyone that is plugging into a wall... They're going to get them.
Imagine that, politician being plain fucking retarded. I know it's hard to wrap your mind around, but there we have another example. Let's end on some happy news, though, should we?
Yes, please.
OpenSats grants long-term support for Nostr devs, including our boy Hazard149.
Yeah, no strudel. Getting some grantage.
That's right.
That's exciting. I saw this. I put it in my notes just in case. Way to go, Hazard.
Our boy Hazard is the creator of No Strudel, of course. You can find it at nostrudel.ninja, N-O-S-T-R-U-D-E-L RUDEL.ninja. And is also churning out his new baby, Blossom. It's called Blossom, which I retardedly tried to say the acronym last time and completely botched it. But Blossom is a acronym sort of like Noster is, which is notes and other things shared over relays. Blossom is blobs stored simply on media servers.
Hmm.
And the point of that is to simplify the storage and organization of digital files across the Noster network. What it really aims to be is kind of an IPFS type solution with identity on top. And identity just being a public-private key pair so that you can sign events and verify identity without necessarily being anything other. You know, you can use SUDs. You can be sued anonymous in that sort of situation, but still prove that you are the same source that did the other stuff, right? So you can build a reputation even using a made-up or contrived identity by proving that you are the same private key that signed the other events as well, right?
Okay.
So the idea there is basically IPFS is just a bunch of files, and 99% of the files in the universe of IPFS are files you don't fucking care about or want. What if you could narrow it down to the files that you probably do care about or want? The idea is that if it's IPFS plus there's identity involved, then you can start to kind of curate a much smaller circle of files that you potentially could look at, search, comb through, make search easier. And by easier, I mean possible. It makes distribution a lot easier, et cetera. So I'm excited to see where he takes it. I immediately thought of the implications for potentially publishing music through a similar kind of avenue, because you would be having the files distributed and also have a bit of censorship resistance in that if one server that hosts one of those files, it's compromised, taken down, removed, et cetera, you have that file distributed across the network, and you could verify that that is indeed the same original file because of the hash involved. You could just check it and see, yep, that's the same file. And you can also ask the whole network, hey, who has this file? And you get a bunch of potential seeders stepping forward saying, oh yeah, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, still a very early stages of it. He just kind of brainstormed this earlier this year.
Well, I'm excited
during his overseas trip there.
For Hazard, so, yeah. Because it feels like he's getting to do this stuff full time.
That's right.
Which is the dream.
Yep. And that's what he said when he was first coming to the Bitcoin meetups. Is he's like, I wish that I could do Bitcoin stuff full time and not have to be distracted by work.
Ask and you shall receive.
It's like the universe answered. If I could make my money doing the things I'm trying to accomplish, maybe I could accomplish the things I'm trying to accomplish. So, super proud of our boy Hazard. He's really killing it.
Yeah, he is.
And long-term support from OpenSats, a guy that really deserves that grant, and now can continue to work on what he loves doing without having to worry about some full-time job that is stealing all of that time away. Fantastic. Good times.
Yeah. Big well, that's congrats. Excellent news. Yeah, huge congrats, Hazard.
And that's why we wrap up a shit stain with some cocaine at the end.
Hell yeah.
We now conclude our scheduled broadcasts for today. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to be with us again tomorrow. Good night.